It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time. It is a Tuesday, I believe. Time for Tom and Shane Business and Politics video for those who are uninformed who would like to be informed. That's why we're here. And of course, you'll absolutely want to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, leave a comment. YouTube really likes that stuff, gives us a little bit of an advantage if we do that. And also, if you want to be, if you want to support us monetarily, there's some great benefits for doing that. So we hope that you will look at the description below and check out the benefits of joining us monetarily. And we do this with Facebook, with StreamYard every week. And StreamYard, easy to use. There's a free version link in the description below, and we hope that you will take advantage of that and start doing your own podcast and go for it. So today we got to talk about debt, world sovereign debt. And boy, Shane, what is sovereign debt anyway? What makes sovereign debt different from another debt or any other kind of debt?
Well, the remarkable thing is sovereign debt is reference to the sovereign nation, an independent free nation that issues debt to fund its country, or fund its economy. The old Keynesian theory was in bad times, recessions, because now we're managing, our economies instead of oversight and regulation. We're going to manage them since 1972. In recession times, a government should borrow money to expand and help the economy grow. But the second part of the thesis was when there's good times and the economy is expanding, they should pay it off. So the problem's been since 72, countries have been borrowing money, but they're not very good about paying it off. So now, yeah. It's reached a number that's you think your debt, your national debt of $30 trillion is unfathomable.
Yeah.
But the global national debt, which includes three types, it's corporate, it's sovereign, and it's personal, $303 trillion. That's right, mm-hmm. folks, $303 trillion. So yeah. You're only 10% of the problem.
There we go. Yeah, I've got $226 trillion at the end of 2020, so Shane's given us the accurate numbers as of today, but borrowing by governments accounted for over half of the $28 trillion increase, bringing yes. global pandemic rate. Yeah, I guess it is a pandemic.
Yeah.
Pandemic borrowing or pandemic spending to a record 99% of GDP. So that's getting right up there. Japan is the most in debt, from what I understand. 127 million people are there, and they've got the highest debt in the world, 234% of GDP. Greece and Japan sit at $9 trillion. So quite a lot of money.
Yeah,
it's a mess. I mean, yeah, you're right.
And it's even small countries you wouldn't expect, like Lebanon's GDP ratio is 172%. I mean, and this, we all know Lebanon. It's right there in the end of the Mediterranean, and it's been in a civil war forever. Cabo Verde, 157%, GDP. Or debt to GDP. Mm-hmm. Italy's 156. Singapore, you think that you hear all these great things about Singapore and how incredible the city is, or the, city state, 131%. And Bahrain, which is one of the wealthiest, emirates in the Middle East, 128%. So the U.S. Yeah. stands at 128% as well. And, you throw that number out and you go, well, it's not the worst in the world. Well, that's depends, because yeah. who's going to buy all this debt? I mean, yeah. They can't just keep rolling it over.
Mm-hmm. Well, as long as the income is there, they can. But if the income dries up, then they're in real trouble, Shane. So,
exactly right.
Hong Kong has they're in the best shape. They got a lucrative banking system. They're well regulated. large exchange reserves and virtually no debt. They're like 0.1% of GDP, I think, or something like that. So it's really, really low in Hong Kong. So maybe we should all be talking to them.
Yeah, that's right. And then, of course, you know, you make that reference and you mm-hmm. think, well, this is great. But, you know, on the other side of that, you know, China's got one of the worst situations, too, with, you know, their mm-hmm. corporate and personal debt being, you know, mm-hmm. basically run by the government because, you know, they run all the banks and everything. So,
right.
you know, China's national debt is, you know, 10.5 trillion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so they're you know, they claim their debt to GDP is only 10%, but yeah, well, it's also 1.4 billion people.
Yeah. Well, they're also selling their bonds too, or trying to.
That's right.
You know, foreign government from include China, Japan, Brazil, Israel, or Ireland rather, not Israel, UK, China, 29% of all treasuries issued to other countries, which include 1.8 trillion or 1.18 trillion, whatever it is.
That's right.
It's a mess.
And still a mess. In Japan, that, you know, they basically have run the same deal that the United States is, the Bank of Japan or the Treasury of Japan would issue debt, the banks would buy it, then they'd sell it to the Bank of Japan. And whatever they, you know, and then they would take that money and they would invest it in countries, principally like the United States and the stock market. Mm-hmm. The return was far better.
True.
And that's another add on to what we've seen in the last 4 weeks is this issue of sovereign debt having such an effect that, you know, a lot of the Japanese banks, you know, they've had to liquidate their positions in the U.S. stock market, not just because of sovereign debt, but because the market has dropped so significantly that, you know, they've been forced mm-hmm. out. So the 10-year note, we'll use an example of sovereign debt and mm-hmm. the floating rate, meaning what the market says the rate should pay for it, is now 2.94%. Well, that's mm-hmm. higher than the United Kingdom at 1.8, Japan's at 0.25. Germany's at 0.99. Brazil is really bad at 12.6%. You know, you buy a 10-year government bond or from Brazil, you get 12%, 7% in India. Canada, we're at 2.9%. So, you know, the U.S. and Canada are basically holding even on our 10-year note. Now, this has nothing to do with the Fed rate because, you know, as you know, the Fed raise their rate from 0.25 to 0.75, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just, so they call it a 50 base raise, you know, so at 0.5, half a point raise. And, you know, you've seen what it did to the market in the last week after they did it. So this is what this is about. The Fed is raising rates. When rates go up, the Fed rate goes up, the price of bonds go down, the face price. The Treasury sells them at $100, but if people aren't willing, because the interest rates going up, you know, people are paying less and less for it. So, mm-hmm. this is a real scramble and one we've been, you know, attempting to alert everyone to for a year.
Yeah, it's, you know, debt's always been an issue ever since we went off the gold standard and, you know, things like that. We're backed up by the full faith and promises of IOUs of the United States of America.
There you go.
In our particular case, even though we are over 100% of GDP, our interest on the debt is only $425 billion, and that's really not a lot of money when you're talking about trillions of dollars. So, you know, I mean, we can manage that debt quite easily.
Oh, yes. You know, paying interest on it, unless, God forbid, you know, interest rates rise to potentially double digits. And then all of a sudden that, you know, that 400 turns into 800 or 1.8 trillion. And then, you know, like the president of the United States announced that by September, he will have reduced the the debt by $1 trillion. No, I mean,
yeah,
this is a loose cannon. And the reason is that the Federal Reserve in the United States holds over $12 trillion in U.S. debt and mortgage-backed securities, those lumps of coal that blew up the economy of the United States in 2008, 2009. So what that means is that at the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September, the Federal Reserve pays to the U.S. Treasury, you know, all of its profits.
Yeah.
So it holding that amount, you know, holding that amount of debt, it pays them $1 trillion, right?
Yeah. So
in interest payments. So
yeah.
It's a no-mer for him to take credit for something that, you know, he doesn't explain where the money's coming from. Well, you know, it's coming from U.S. debt.
Well, that's where they, you know, they pull out the job creation numbers. Most job creation in 40 years or whatever, or something like that. We're still 1 million below what the pandemic was before. So I'm sorry. Maybe you may have set a record in replacement jobs if you want to be accurate about it.
Yeah.
But
And the other number was on that same report was 4.5 million Americans quit their jobs in March.
Mm-hmm.
4.5 million. Now, obviously, they probably quit to move or to get a different or better job. But the fact is that there wasn't any explanation of, well, how if you only had 465,000 new jobs, I guess that the other 4 million people that quit in March maybe didn't get a job yet.
I don't know, man. These numbers, you know, we've questioned them for years, and I think most all right-thinking people have. You know, there's just no way to, you know, you can always skew the numbers in your favor. You know, however you want to do it, you cherry pick a time period, or you cherry pick a certain segment of society and make yourself sound good and, you know, ignore the rest.
No, well, that's right. I mean, and it's so important because, as you and I both know, and everyone should, these inflation numbers aren't real because they don't include gas and they don't include food.
Yeah.
And they do that purposely because in 2022, the rate of inflation on gasoline alone is 11.2%.
Yeah.
And the inflation rate, you know, on other things that are like the most important things in people's lives, like eggs, you know, overall, comparable numbers of a carton of 12 eggs today cost $2.92. And, you know, that's a 44%. So what else do you eat to survive?
Yeah, chicken, that's true.
Chicken, true. Chicken in 2022, the average price, $1.72, up 2.3%. Mm-hmm. And the inflation rate, of course, on beef, you know, beef and veal, basically, for 2022, just two products, 12%. So, you know, inflation rate in the United States right now is double digit. All right. They're lying. The most important things you need in your life, you know, beef, chicken, eggs, and
milk, whatever.
Milk or dairy and gas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's, and they know it. The American people know it because they're the ones paying it.
Yeah.
You know, Biden doesn't buy anything.
No. Well, the for the benefit of the people watching us, the reason they don't include food and gasoline in inflation is because they're world commodities. They're not just United States. So the price of those things is based on the world market, not just the United States market. So they exclude those because they would skew the numbers. So.
No, I know.
Well, they would skew them up.
They would make them real. Look.
Yeah, it would make them real. Yeah.
Interest rates I gave, or the inflation rates I just gave you are on American products, not global. Number one.
I understand that.
I know you, but I want to make this point.
Yeah.
If you go to any country in the world and look at those five things that people need, they're higher. The inflation rate on them is higher in Germany and England and in Iran and every other country. So Yeah, the argument doesn't fit that, you know, they just don't want to change what's been something they've been doing for 60 years, which is ridiculous. They should update and modernize it and be more transparent so that one thing Americans don't like is just being bald ass lied to.
Yeah.
Which,
I guess ever since Nixon, we've been suspect of the numbers that are given to us. And when we went off the gold standard, and then all of a sudden money and fractional banking and all the other stuff came along, and we're, all the numbers, as I say, presidents have always taken credit for unemployment or deficit reduction or whatever. They really have nothing to do with those things, but they always take credit for them or blame somebody else if the numbers go the wrong way. So,
you're absolutely right. And where you're at now, as we look at it, 14, 15 months into the Biden administration, mm-hmm. I mean, he's managed to collapse the oil industry and basically turn the spigot off in your country. He's managed to drastically affect the shipping industry, the process of delivery of everything everyone eats and uses, 80% delivered by trucks, and that's a mess. He's managed to collapse the market. Like, the market's falling like a rock. This is as bad as 87, 88, or 9, mm-hmm. 07, 08. And, have to go back to 87, five recessions back.
Yeah.
to realize, we're in a recession. And you and I have been touting this now since the beginning of the year. We talked about mm-hmm. the top of the market in November and December. Yeah. We got it right. No one else anywhere in the world that's live, either on a podcast or on our Saturday radio show, called the market. We did.
Yeah.
And that's why we do this, because we feel that, we're farther ahead of the game than anyone else. But then we are older and wiser. And we've been there before.
We've been through this. Yeah. We've been through this.
Yeah, the old expression.
Exactly right. So, all right. Well, we've about wrapped up sovereign debt, I guess, today. We've taken that to the limit. Hey, don't forget, we're on radio. You can listen to us anywhere in the world, 8 to 11 Mountain Time, KMMSAM.com. Write it down, bookmark it, whatever. All you got to do is click listen now. There's no sign up. There's no joining. There's no personal information needed, anything like that. And also, of course, over at KMMSAM.com are our past shows, including these broadcasts, as well as our radio shows. And just click on Tom and Shane's podcast when you go over there, and you can select whichever one you want to catch up on, or anything that we've done since then. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed, and I think you'll enjoy Thursday's show. It's coming up, and what's going to save the market? There are a couple of little hints out there and gems to watch, so we'll give you a heads up first ahead of everyone else.
Works for me. All right. All right, well, let's keep that up there. All right, thanks for watching. Hey, don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, and we'll see you on Thursday at 10 a.m. Bye for now.